Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says, that's a bad shot. But that story won't be told that it was a bad shot.
Tied at 115, crowd rising to the feet. George Rowe, Ben Lillard.
After a week of sports that could drive a sane person crazy, two men arrive in the wee hours of a Sunday to provide clarity, truth, and questionable sports takes.
Spread floor, Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1, a deep three.
Oh!
This is Sports Sunday.
Blazers win the series, a walk-off three from Lillard.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Damian Lillard from way downtown.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher with Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I mean, that's a bad shot.
The Fan.
Welcome into Sports Sunday.
It was a bad shot.
Boy.
What is Paul George in the studio this morning?
Guys. Okay, forget him. It was a bad shot.
I'm dead tired today.
I'm trying to shake it. You know?
I don't know what's going on. I got Rashad Taylor across the faux marble. Jordan Schultz across the glass on this Sports Sunday. But yeah, I don't know.
Misty glass.
Like, I was telling Rashad, I went golfing yesterday, and yes, you know, the drinks were flowing. But by the end of the day, it's not like I was like boozed and just done and a mess. I was like, all right, time for bed. You know, day's done. Definitely tired. And then I woke up this morning. I'm like, ow. The head and the body. I'm just like, what is this? I didn't think this was going to happen. We're doing all right now though. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. And then it's kind of, gray outside. It feels like it's almost like a late September, early October Sunday.
Yeah.
Is it football Sunday already?
Almost. I mean, it's right around the corner, but yeah, I went to a wedding last night, so probably equally as much drinking as maybe on the golf course.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
You know, I haven't really been drinking a lot lately, and so
you know, I might have to go down that road here. Yeah, soon. It sounds nice.
And so no, it's been super cool. And so had a few last night. And was like, so not like what's that? You know,
you guys
like,
sound old. You know, oh,
no,
definitely.
But
I mean, I'm tired
not,
this morning, but let's just put it out there.
Not
you guys
that,
sound old.
Not like hungover or anything like that, but just like
okay.
Just a little. For me, it was just a little harder to get going this morning.
I hear that.
That's all it was. It wasn't necessarily like sick, or I can't remember, honestly, I can't remember the last time I was sick from liquor.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time throwing up from a hangover. I mean, who would do that?
Who would do that?
Who would, irresponsible?
Who
idiots.
Would show up to a show
on a
hungover
Sunday
and then throw up during the last segment?
That's one of the greatest moments in Sports Sunday history, because you would have never known Joe was sick prior to that. Like, there was a whole conversation. I can't remember what we were talking
Radio
about at that
pros
point.
Here on the fan.
A whole conversation going, and Joe was, you know, I think we're talking about the Cowboys or something like that. And he was just like in his fan bag, and he's throwing out names and, you know, and all these guys. And man, if this wouldn't have happened, and then he just turns off his mic and picks up the black the black garbage and like, oh, and I just start filibustering.
I recall how this went down. I'm pretty sure it was like the last segment of the show.
Second to last segment before the show ends. Joe comes in earlier and was like, man, I just don't feel good.
No, I knew I didn't feel good.
He made it the whole show up until right then.
I was like, bro, it's a struggle. I even remember saying after the first hour, I was like, you know, I think I just needed to start talking and get going. You
it's
know?
A bad guy mistake.
Man,
I was like, I'm good. I think we're good. And then we got to like 10:45, and then I was like, oh, we're not good. And we started the segment, and then I said something, turned my mic off, and then whispered into Rashad's ear. I'm like, you're going to have to bring us home, buddy. Like, we're putting the team on your back here. And then he just had his minute and a half while I was in the studio, just give me the ball.
I got it. You know,
yeah.
It's not a problem. I'm gonna land this plane for us, guys.
And you sure did.
Yeah.
You sure did land the plane.
I don't know. If we're still getting sick drinking though, like those are rookie moves. Like, what are we doing? Like, are we mixing beer and liquor? Like, are we, you know, what are we doing? Dark and lights. Like,
yeah.
If we're doing that at this point, like, yeah, we're. You're asking for trouble, especially
makes
if you're in your 30s. You should know better.
And I'd be happier than ever. I'm in another room.
I don't even think I was asking for trouble yesterday. I had, you know, my standard claws on the course. You know, I drink those to keep it light, keep it refreshing. And then the next course we went to had like no claws. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll get some IPAs. And then a buddy of mine had these little shooters of pink martinis or whatever. Like, they're, I don't know. I think it's the Barstool guys.
Well, hello there.
Oh, yeah, right. Those are real. Those are sexy.
It's like,
right?
Yummy.
But Rashad had a great point. He's like, that is the most white guy drinking palate of all time. Claws,
seriously.
IPAs, yes. Little pink martinis from the Barstool guys.
Like, man, like, that's no wonder you were feeling weird.
Have that pink lemonade vodka in there or something.
Yeah, seriously. Something with an umbrella in it or anything. Thing. Like, usually when I drink, if I'm switching drinks, it's going to be the same color or the same type.
Excuse me, it's called Pink Whitney vodka.
Yes, the pink martini.
Isn't that like a band?
Is that what you're talking about, Jordan?
Yes, the Pink Whitney. That's exactly what I was talking about. Well, because I've seen, I don't know if you've, I get lost in YouTube shorts and Insta whatever's all the time.
Who doesn't?
Reels. Yeah, all right.
It's hard. Sometimes I don't watch TV anymore. I'll just get stuck on YouTube going through the reels.
Well, there's that bartender guy that makes all the mixed drinks, you know.
The black
and kind
guy?
Of does, yes.
He's so irritating.
He is irritating. Well, because he does that voice and I'd never heard it, but then he's like, and then I had the Pink Whitney.
Like, where
and I'm
are
like,
you from? Like,
what
where
the
are you
hell
from?
Is
what,
the Pink
what
Whitney? Well, and I'd never heard of Pink Whitney before. So because I saw that, had to go find out.
So I had a couple of those.
Pink lemonade vodka.
They're quite delicious. Better iced for sure. And so I mean, like, it wasn't crazy. It's not like shot of whiskey here. Oh, you got some gin. Cart girl's coming by. Time for a mixed drink. Like, yeah, I felt like I kept it 100 yesterday and was drinking my water too. And wasn't good enough. Yeah.
Sometimes it just catches up with you.
It does. It does.
Or it could just be because it's cloudy out. It's misty. I'm loving the cool down, by the way. But it makes
I'm not complaining.
Makes you feel like you don't really have to get out of bed.
No.
So.
And then Sports and Football Sunday happens.
Yes.
Let's go.
But we do have something very serious we need to get to right now. And
very serious.
Last week, we were without Rashad Taylor, filled in quite wonderfully by my father, Joe Fisher Jr.
Yes. Joe Classic was in.
Yes. But Rashad, why don't you go ahead and fill the folks in on why you were not here last week? Do you want to share with the class why you were not here?
Boar hunting.
Boar hunting. Yes, the old Mike Lynch.
Easy.
And the biannual boar hunting.
Easy. Like, yeah.
Boar hunting.
Yeah. No.
You were hunting something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was definitely hunting something. But man, I went ahead and went ahead, you know, had have a young lady that I've been, you know, with for quite a while, and decided to ask her to be Mrs. Taylor, and she reluctantly said yes. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yes.
Yes, man.
A reluctant so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she was kind of like, you know, I kind of appreciate y'all, man. Thank
Let's
you guys.
Go.
Congratulations.
Kind of broke it. Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. Kind of broke out the worst of, you know, the old Jagged Edge song, you know, Let's Get Married, which is a great song. But then you listen to it as an adult.
We ain't getting younger.
Yeah. Yeah. We ain't getting younger. You know, might as well do it. Like, come on. Like, I think it's a good
baby,
idea
let's
now.
Get married.
No, but yeah, it was a cool night.
Michael
so
McDonald.
The cool part is, like, once that happens and people know about it, instantly they start asking questions that, like, yo, like, when's the date? Like, bro, it was last week.
God.
It was literally 7 days.
Like
7 days.
Ago. I just asked her the other day.
And
like,
so fast forward.
Date.
So fast forward.
I called
so,
the DJ the day after and nailed
fast
it
forward.
Down.
And so last night we go to one of her best friend's weddings, right? And a good friend of mine as well. Like, we worked together
She's
for a long time.
She's showing off the ring. And...
Was that why you asked her? Because you were going to the best friend's wedding?
No. So oh, okay. Her birthday was
a preemptive
last...
strike.
No, yeah, that was
I've
that...
got a story about that after Rashawn.
Yeah, that's
done,
actually. That's actually bad form, you know, to do that, like, to a, especially to a girl. Women take that stuff super personal.
You're not wrong.
And so,
what, proposing at a wedding?
Proposing at a wedding or,
don't
like,
be
being
idiot,
just even,
though, yeah.
even taking any type of shine away from the bride
Makes
and the
sense.
Groom
Makes
at
sense.
That point.
Yep.
And so, last week was her birthday, and so I was like, okay, well, and it was on Sunday, but we went out Saturday.
Hey, girl,
so yeah,
I got a birthday gift for you.
Okay, about, we yeah. got Barry White and Michael McDonald
I gave
in the studio.
I gave
today.
Her more than I hey, more baby. Than one gift. Hey-o!
No, hey,
but,
pause.
But no, it was we go to the wedding yesterday. A lot of my friends, a lot of people that, you know, that I know, and everybody's asking the same questions. Like, man, when's the date? I was like, bro, it's, I don't know. We're trying to enjoy, like, you know, this part first, but people are asking about colors and dates and DJs. I'm like, fam, I have a DJ, number one. DJ Fish Dicks.
I was going to say, do not look across this table.
Oh, you're doing it.
DJ Fish
Oh, you're doing
Dicks.
It. But no, but no, so far, so good. You know, we'll see how the pending nuptials and everything go, but yeah, man, getting
dude, hell yeah,
that's
congratulations,
really awesome, Rashawn.
Appreciate y'all,
that's,
man.
That's cool.
Now I do have to ask though, like, is it going to be a legit wedding where guests, tables, dance floor, or is it just gonna be like, we're gonna go do our thing, you know, group of, you know, me and family, and then just go to the courthouse, you know, all that.
She's definitely not gonna allow anything at the courthouse.
Ah,
more than likely,
that's
so it'll
good.
Be a thing.
It's a thing.
It'll be a thing.
Well, good. I like things.
Y'all will be there.
Yeah,
in attendance.
Hell yeah.
That's why I'm asking. I was like, I want to go to a thing. I don't want to just see the pictures on IG of you guys holding up the certificate. I'm like,
no.
Well, where's the reception?
I promise I won't puke until after the wedding. It's okay.
It's cool. I'm going to have specific areas for puking, just in case.
You know, a little puke bucket.
Just in case, man. And, you know, as a guy, like, I think the most important part of a wedding, just as a dude, is the bar scene. If you're drinking
you're
or anything
wrong.
Like that, if it's an open bar, score. Even if it's a limited number of drinks, right? Like, even if you're only serving
like two or three
a whiskey,
to each
vodka drink, you know, whatever the case, a lager drink, like, a cider drink.
Yeah,
you know.
Two options or three options, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the case is, and kind of go from there. But, you know, it's a really nice wedding at a really nice hotel in downtown Portland with not an open bar. So
open bar?
Yeah, so that kind of as I looked at my account balance, you know.
That is 7-9 bull.
Yeah. That's right, Jeff.
That's unbelievable.
There it is.
I will say, hold on, shout out to my wifey's best friend who did have an open bar at a nice hotel in Boston when I was gone last month sat my wife and I literally as close to the bar as you can
wonderful.
Get.
Good for her.
It's like, oh, I love you, Lauren. I love you so much.
You said real quickly though, you had a proposal at a wedding?
No. Just before, a preemptive strike, if you will.
Gotcha.
Just
okay.
before that wedding, my wife's other best friend, who has been a very beautiful love story, had been with this guy, broke up for a while, had been single for a bit, and then kind of reconnected with him, and they're going to be married, and they're lovers for life. It's awesome. They should have been together. Never broken up anyways, but he asked her the week before the wedding of her best friend so she could show up with the, and it was a 2-carat rock, yeah. So Yeah. Shout out to John. That was a big one.
Yeah, like ladies, that type of stuff, like yeah,
and that stuff matters. So she did not serious. Have the blank finger at the wedding. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Well, again, Rashad, congratulations.
Thank you, my guy. I appreciate you.
But seriously, when's the date? What's the venue?
This guy. I don't know.
Oh
man.
My goodness.
Probably summer, which I think is too long, but whatever. I digress.
Well, we do have a date.
To quote Meredith from The Office, I just want whatever's most expensive to eat unless there's ribs.
Unless there's ribs.
Thank you.
There we go.
Well, we do have a date on basically the death of the Pac-12, and it's coming in 2024. What a week we just had. I was sitting in this seat last Sunday talking about Colorado leaving. Boy, how things change in 7 days. So we have to get to that. That's probably going to take up a good chunk of the first hour.
Right.
And the second hour. I'm just kidding.
Seriously, we could go a full 2 hours.
It's lethargic.
But what we do have to start in the second hour, divisional previews, baby. We're going AFC South. We're going NFC South, starting off our NFL season preview right there. Given records. What we think is going to happen. We might have to go into a little bit of a Lillard conversation because on a Friday, I believe, speaking with Danny Morang and Andrew Nemec out in the old, on the lobby there about the Lillard situation, it's getting weird. It's getting kind of weird as far as when we get closer to training camp, what's going to happen. So we'll see if we got time on that. But hey, it's not Football Sunday, but we're starting there. Because
it's pre-Football Sunday.
Because as we have seen this week, the Pac-12, it might be on its last leg before it changes to the Pac Mountain or the Mountain Pack. Because 8 of the 12 teams have decided to move on from the Pac-12.
I'm very confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, George. Are you confident in your resume? Because he might have to be fixing that. So text into the show, 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Ford text line. And let's start there. Pac-12 or the Pac-4. Back the big? What do we do? I don't know. I'm so confused. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
So it all started with USC and UCLA bouncing to the Big Ten last year, or announcing it last year, rather. Seems like last year. Could have been 3 months ago, for all I know.
Was it last season? Yeah, it was last season.
We knew last year, but that's where it started as far as teams leaving, and then it was just a little over a week ago where the worst football team in the conference, Colorado, said that they would be leaving and going to the Big 12.
An interesting backstory behind that, too.
How so?
With Colorado, it essentially started, it sounds like, according to multiple reports via ESPN, CBS Sports as well, that Deion Sanders, as soon as he arrived in Boulder, was talking about, I mean, it was as soon as that dude arrived, primetime was like, yo.
Bro, that boy better win.
Not surprised.
Well, and one of the big reasons.
Primetime better win.
You're not wrong. And one of the big reasons for that, Rashad, was because he wanted to win, but taking, and this honestly as a Pac-12 fan for my entire life is insulting to me, taking away the recruiting pipelines from like Los Angeles and other connections like Oregon and Washington and the West Coast's good players. He didn't really care about that. He wanted to go to the Big 12 as soon as he arrived and talked about that, I'm pretty sure, like day one, because the Texas pipeline, four schools that they're going to be playing every single year and access to those recruits.
Oregon to Washington pipeline or Colorado to cut into Nevada. I don't want that.
But if that's what's predicated, and I know, Joe, we got to get to this whole story, but if that's what's predicated on the acceptance of a job at a school is to take that school into a new conference and possibly shape the direction of that new conference. Deion maybe didn't know he was doing that, but you know what? Shame on you, Prime. I just don't like the move in general from Colorado's perspective as early as they were talking. So they dig into that if you haven't yet.
So they make the second move, and I was sitting here last week with my pops basically saying, I'm like, well, that's it. Like, you have Colorado leaving? Like, USC and UCLA is one thing, but when you have Colorado saying they want, I'm like, well, it's okay. Like, it's going to be only a matter of days. And then we saw the rumors floating around on Sunday about how Arizona was looking like the next team that was going to be leaving the Big 12. And again, once we saw that, we're like, okay, it's in motion. Like, there's no reason for these conferences to not be calling the corner schools, Big 12 calling the corner schools, Big 10 calling Oregon, Washington, and making it happen.
And Arizona was that first kind of brick to crack in the four corner schools.
Yep. So it's like, it all just kind of snowballed, and before you knew it, here we are Friday at 10 a.m. Pac-12 is on its last leg as Oregon and Washington are going to the Big 10. Mm. I want to start there because there are so many things about this, positive and negative. So let's start positive because Oregon is definitely going to get a positive influx in their bank accounts, as will Washington.
And, not as high as you think, but they will.
But when I look at this, is that you have to be at least amazed from the Oregon standpoint that none of this happens if they don't have the success over the last 15 to 20 years that they do. Example is sales manager Ryan Cooley. We're talking the other day, and he's from Southern California. And he came up and went to school at Lewis and Clark. So Southern California kid from Malibu, the Pepperdine, the UCLA area, all this, right? And then he comes up, and when he comes to Oregon, in the early 2000s, it was like, oh, Oregon, the Ducks? Okay, they're up here. I guess they're a school. That was their reputation. Oregon is now one of the biggest sports properties, college football wise. And now look at them, where it's basically like, we want them. Yeah, USC, UCLA, that was nice. But now we have a chance to get Oregon, Washington too. That's cool. Nice little kicker. It's amazing to see where they have gone from the pre-Joey years to now being, I don't want to use national powerhouse, but having a national presence to where they're wanted in the Big Ten. And that's where you look at like Oregon State, Washington State. And I'm like, hey, sorry, like, this is the property, this is the team that they want, and kudos to Oregon for really turning themselves into that over the last 15, 20 years.
I mean, who doesn't want Nike in their conference?
Right. Who doesn't want that?
Like, I mean, we have to be honest. Like, the schools that they got, you know, are not, like, these aren't bum schools. Like, Oregon and Washington are two of the premier schools in the Pac-12. Washington's been one of the best teams in the Pac-12.
And best academics, too.
For 30 years. You know,
okay.
I mean,
it's
a real thing. Like, Washington is an amazing school, especially on the West Coast. Like, yes, Washington is one of those, one of them ones, man, as the kids like to say. So if you look at what's the Pac-12 is losing, yes, the Oregon is a huge, huge brand. Washington is not as big a brand as Oregon, but it's still a big, you see that big W, it's a really recognizable brand, you know, throughout the country, especially throughout college football. So yes, there is going to be value with that added to, you know, teams like Michigan State, obviously Ohio State, you know, Penn State and stuff like that. So yes, now I think you're going to have an opportunity to really, you talk about, you did that money, so that you're going to have an opportunity to make some big money.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking Oregon versus Penn State, you know, maybe once every couple years.
Oregon versus Ohio State.
You're talking
State.
About Oregon and Ohio State, which doesn't bode well for Oregon.
Does everybody remember when Michigan fans came to Autzen back in the mid-2000s?
Doesn't bode well. What are you talking
about? Oh, yeah. I think Oregon is like 1-9 versus Ohio State.
Hey, that one was the most recent one.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Like, it counts. Like,
but the spectacle
counts.
Is what you're saying,
no,
Rashawn.
No, exactly. It's a spectacle,
you're right.
You know, Oregon-Michigan. Remember how big of a thing that was when Michigan came to Austin and stuff like that. So
Oklahoma.
This
was at that game, baby.
I mean,
at that game.
Yeah. So this is one of those things. Like, you could potentially have some really, really marquee, especially for the first few seasons, some really, really marquee matchups within the Big Ten with that. So that could be great.
And that's what's the best part for, like, Oregon, Washington, is that all these years of trying to convince, and now I know this is more so of dealing with SEC, but trying to convince these bigger programs to come out to Oregon or just to play them and convince to do a home and home. Like, you ain't got to go through all that anymore with some of these teams. And so, like, Michigan State, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, like, those are four. Those are great programs that you want
to
be playing.
Gene, though, like, that's and then we start thinking about, here's the cool part. That, I mean,
Wisconsin.
We yet,
I mean,
but,
like, these are schools, like, you can't duck getting out of playing in Eugene anymore. Like,
no,
that has to happen.
That is a huge positive. And if we're talking, I'm sure we're going to get into the negative, but you got to understand these storied programs coming together. I feel like that is the future of college football. These super conferences or these teams that you want to see play each other because they're premier programs. That's trying to be made to happen. And now we see, you know, the NCAA taking an interest in that because they're not stepping in and saying, hey, you know, none of this, guys. No, they're allowing all this to go down. So definitely a positive, not only for Oregon, but the entire West Coast. And to see all of those teams together going into such a very storied conference and the scheduling working out a little bit better for all these West Coast teams that now have three others to travel with. And along with that, I will say the big positive. There was a huge reason that UCLA and USC tried to get out of the Pac-12 for the Big Ten, and that was because they did not want to share that Los Angeles recruiting pipeline.
Yep. This is one of my favorite parts about all
and
this.
And now they don't get to run at all away from Oregon and Washington, especially Oregon. Oregon still gets that SoCal pipeline, still gets all the same access to the recruits that USC and UCLA do. So screw you, Chip. Screw you, Lincoln. I never thought I'd say screw you, Chip, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there's definitely positives here. And another thing we're not talking about enough is they get to add another smart school in Washington. You know, and seriously, now you get Washington.
I wasn't kidding about the academics, man.
Those Washington versus Northwestern games could be something good. Washington versus Penn State, Washington versus Purdue.
Care about the academics as much as they state?
No, it does, because now this boosts up your overall GPA for the conference, right? Your overall GPA. It's like, that's
something I understand
that they
look what you're
at. Saying. So that's something that you add Washington students, and then you add, you know, with paired with Northwestern, paired with Penn State and some of those other upper achieving schools. Like, yeah, man, that's a good thing for them. So if we're talking positives, that's, you know, yet another positive. But I don't know. I mean, are we going to talk about the other side, though?
Yes, we will. But I do want to also share this quote, because it's one of my favorite quotes about Autzen, is from former Michigan head coach Lloyd Carr.
Yes, I love this.
It's his before and after quotes, I should say, of playing at Autzen. His before is, they are very difficult to beat at home. The crowd is, from every report I get, from every coach I've spoken with, a real factor. And great, now my page reloads right away. And then after the game, his quote was, "That's the loudest stadium I've ever been in." You know, that's Michigan head coach Lloyd Carr saying that.
Joe, you just saying that gives me goosebumps and brings up the very vivid memory of going to games the season after that and the games following the Michigan-Oregon game with Jason Fife running into the end zone for one of those touchdowns, which, yes, that made it onto the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was awesome. But the goosebumps that you're bringing up just by stating that, as the Ducks made sure to flash that quote on the big board at Autzen for probably 3-4 years after that game and just bringing me back there. It's making me nostalgic and it's making me miss. I love this. I love this future, but it's making me miss the past for sure.
Again, when you get that first marquee Big Ten matchup next year, whoever it is that comes to town, I think that's when we're going to kind of realize, like, oh, this is a real thing where this is going to happen every year, a Penn State or a Michigan or a Michigan State or Ohio State or a Wisconsin or an Iowa. You can't wait to see that vaunted Iowa offense, huh? Maybe. Hey,
man. They've been good sometimes, right? Yeah,
seriously, sometimes Iowa will shock you.
No, they've had a couple of top 10 appearances in the, top 25.
Oh, I know. I am not discrediting their success. I'm discrediting their putrid, disgusting offense that they run out there every season. So, it's going to be very, very interesting for Oregon, Washington, and the Big 12. My initial reaction was like, good for Oregon, happy for them, happy for my alma mater. This changes things drastically for them in a great way. For the other school in the state, up in Corvallis, it also changes things drastically for them, and not in a good way at all. We will get to that next, but first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday here, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz, and me, Joe Fisher. I do want to jump to the text line real quick because this is pertains to the Oregon State Beavers, who are now part of the Pac-4. Well, it's the Pac-12 for one more year. This will be a very fun, nostalgic, sad
for the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl.
There's going to be there's going to be a lot of emotions this year. But on the text line, Vancouver 4 text line, as a Beaver fan, I no longer care about Oregon versus Penn State or USC versus Michigan. This has made college football more regional than ever. This is horrible for the sport. Over some money, which I've always been told how rich Oregon is, they have no idea how many ratings and eyeballs they just lost. Well, that's okay. Before we go into the Oregon aspect, let's stay with the Beavers, because this, I think, is, I mean, would you say that this is a bigger deal for Oregon State than it is Oregon? Because I feel like this drastically changes the entire athletic program of Oregon State. You will have less money to play with. I mean, if you are going to be in a conference now against the Nevadas and the Wyomings and the Boise States, guess what? You have lost your leverage of being a Power 5 school. And if I'm a recruit down in the Bay Area that is getting offers from Nevada and whatever Mountain West school, San Diego State, and then whoever comes from Corvallis and says, yeah, but come up to Oregon State. Oh, well, yeah, we don't have that Pac-12 deal anymore. We're not in the conference, and you won't play USC or Oregon or Washington and have that exposure. But Corvallis is a great college town.
How do you feel about going to Reno,
though? Yeah.
Good point.
That's not the best option. I mean, what's the optimum choice for Oregon State fans? Probably hoping the Big 12 calls at this point. What are the chances of that?
No incentive for them to do that.
No, exactly. There's none. So you're literally looking at like a Pac West, merger of the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, and that's with a lot of mediocre schools, or going independent. What future does that hold for Oregon State fans? Rashad, I understand some of the anger here.
I know Rashad's going to be stoked to see his UNLV Rebels playing Oregon State, though, every year.
Hasn't boded well for him before, so I mean, not lately. But I think this could potentially be, it's definitely a bad thing for as far as recruiting goes. Like, being in the Pac-12, even if you're Arizona State, right, at least you're in the Pac-12 still. So if you're trying to lure somebody away from you know, a bigger kid that might be going to, you know, might have been wanting to go to Nevada, might have been wanting to go to one of those schools. You can at least give the thing that, hey, like Joe said, you're going to play Oregon, you know, this year and next year, and then we're going to play Stanford. We're going to play all these other
USC,
teams.
USC, like, Washington. You
know, yeah, and
big
so
programs.
Now, I mean, you're trying to sell kids on the fact that you're going to play against, you know, again, Nevada and UNLV and, you know, Boise State, you know, all cool little, you know, programs and everything, but none of them have the cachet of any one of the teams, even one of the middling teams like a Utah in the Pac-12, you know what I mean? And so now it's a little, but Oregon State has an opportunity to be the best team in a middling conference. Like if Oregon State, you know, goes in there and goes 10-1, you know, whatever the case is, you know, 9-2, whatever it is, they have potential to be the best team in that conference. People are going to start keep paying attention. Remember, Boise State for years was the gem of the Mountain West, right? Like Boise yeah. State was the team that kept, you know, with the blue, the Smurf turf and everything like that. They were always the team for a long time that people looked at and said, this mid-major type team, this team that's, you know, from the Mountain West is running through people. So Oregon State could potentially be that team as far. They're probably the best team. Utah's gone too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they're
yeah.
done.
Oh, yeah,
done.
The four corner schools have been accepted. And
it's Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State. Those are the only four left in our good old Pacific
Four
Conference.
Who hasn't picked up Stanford yet?
No, they were being considered by the Big 12 along with Cal for their academic prowess, but we were talking just a second ago, Oregon State possibly going independent. That is a legit option for Stanford just because of their long-standing history of sports and connections with many other prestigious programs.
Well, so, and also
outside of the Pac-12, I mean.
Let's get to the root of why this is all happening again. Money, TV, media markets, like, if Big Ten wants a few other teams, why not go after Stanford and Cal and take the Bay Area market? I know that the Bay Area is not, it's not like, oh, are you a Stanford or Cal fan? I went to MIT and I work for a huge software company out here. I don't care. Like, that's kind of what you run into probably in the Bay Area more.
I just don't think they need it in the Big 12,
do they? Again, it's like Bay Area, it's a market. It's San Francisco, right? Like, there are people, again, just saying Stanford and Cal football fans out loud, it does kind of seem like, is that a real thing? But again, when it comes down to all this, this is all based off of media markets and money. Would they wanted the Portland, Eugene, Oregon, Seattle, Washington footprint? I mean, they literally just got those two states, the entire I-5 corridor, basically, just by bringing in Oregon and Washington. So, what, like, what Washington State and Oregon State do nothing? We already have those.
Fresno and, yeah. and the rest of the
We area, already have those, know? Markets. Well, San Francisco would be nice. That'd be a nice kicker. So let's add Cal, Stanford. Not the best football programs, but Stanford has one of the best athletic programs with all their other ancillary sports. And then Cal, again, I don't know, academics, I guess, is the kicker on this, but I think that would be more so make sense. And that, again, that's where it sucks for Oregon State. You are going to, I said this last week, I didn't want any team to be quote unquote relegated in this Pac-12 nonsense, right? I wanted them to stay on the same playing field, same competition level, same money coming in every year. This changes that. Like, Oregon State and Washington State are not sought after properties.
Sorry.
Unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things,
is that why Beavers fans are mad?
They're only when they're paired. Like, it's only when Washington is paired with Washington State, and that's when it's like, okay, that's something I'll take. You know, if it was one of those things, like, if it was like, man, if you take Oregon, that means there's no more Civil War game and everything like that. And Oregon was like, nah, well, we need that for marketing or whatever.
I do find it funny.
Will.
Yeah. Oregon and Washington both were like, yeah, we're going to do whatever we can to preserve the Apple Cup Civil War games for sure. And it's like, if you're Oregon State, Washington State,
yeah, Scott Barnes was like, to be determined.
Yeah, kick rocks. We're good for the next 10 years. Like,
it's got to be frustrating for OSU fans. I get it, but
everything from OSU. It's their own fault, though. This is Oregon State's own fault. Let's just be real.
Scott Barnes didn't do them a lot of favors.
Well, go ahead, Rashad.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying, in the sense that Oregon, years ago, made strides to make sure they changed the way people saw Oregon football. Whether it was the flashy uniforms, it was the new facilities, it was the spread offense, whatever it was, they were like, we're going to be viewed differently to the rest of the country. And when you're right down the street and you're seeing Big Brother do all these other things. What are you waiting for? I know they're finally making renovations to Reser and everything. That
I think those are all wrapped up.
Oh, that should have happened 15 years ago.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know, all those.
It's a good thing they had that money to do that now.
All these upgrades that should have happened, new facilities and everything, that should have happened a while ago. And then maybe Oregon's still going to get what they get, but now you have kids that just aren't completely leapfrogging Corvallis to go straight to Oregon, especially a lot of those kids that end up going to visit Oregon. They don't really, not going to make the team, going to be preferred walk-ons. But Oregon State's saying, hey, I have a scholarship for you. And kids are like doing the Drake, like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do that.
No, the prestige of the Pac-12, I think, with Oregon and Washington kind of being that final domino over Friday evening to drop for them, it forces Oregon State and Washington fans to really, Washington State fans, excuse me, to really examine where they are as programs without the comparison of them to Oregon. Because I do think, and I love Beavers fans, my dad's been a Beav fan, I'm a Duck fan, so it's kind of been a house divided growing up, but I've always loved, you know, especially when the Beavers football program is having a great season, you know, like how competitive it is locally here in the Pac-12, but it just hasn't been that year to year. And I think Beavers fans might be a little jaded. I understand they're mad that they're never going to get, you know, these rivalries, these local games. The first game that I ever went to ever for a football game was the Civil War back in like 95 or 6. I get it. We're losing a lot. I'm pissed about that. But I feel like Oregon State fans being mad at Duck fan or being mad at the University of Oregon and saying like, oh, I'm never gonna watch you again. I don't care about any of those rivalries. It's like, are you really mad at Oregon? Are you mad because your program isn't as good as Oregon's? And you kind of thought that in the last couple of years. Yeah. Or you thought maybe you had a chance to get there with this Jonathan Smith-Reese and hire. And trust me, the trajectory is going up. But I just wonder if Beavers fans are a little bit over what they should be here.
Text line, Vancouver text line. Brandon Sprague chiming in. He says, Oregon is not in the Big because of their media market. They're in it because of recent top-end success in the last 20 years in Nike. Yeah, I mean, I was saying that earlier in the show, but also, you getting Oregon in Washington, you have the Pacific Northwest now. Like, it's not getting Portland, but then again, Oregon Ducks is one of the biggest teams in this part of the country. Like, in the Northwest, there is a ton of Oregon fans, a ton of people that converted. So you are getting the Portland market. You're getting the Eugene market. You're getting Bend. You are getting the entire state. And then with that, coupled it with Vancouver and Washington and again, the Pacific Northwest, you have it because of getting those two schools. And quite frankly, you wanted Oregon because, yeah, they built up that success over the last 20 years and they were the school that took over this market. If Oregon State did that over the last 20 years, then they're in this deal. They take over the state. They're the team that everybody wants to watch and be a part of.
What other Pac-12 teams appeared in a national championship twice in the last decade? Yeah, that's the only point.
And maybe Oregon State, you know, doesn't take over the state the way Oregon does, but I think they at least make it competitive. They at least try to, you know, kind of stay on par. And it's hard to stay on par with Uncle Phil, but you're at least trying to make strides to stay relevant. And I think for a long time, Oregon State just took too long to be able to do it. So now that they have a whole new task in front of them, which is potentially being the best team in a middling conference.
Just one more text, and then I want to read some quotes from Scott Barnes on the next time on the next segment. But Vancouver Ford text line, Oregon and Washington should kick OSU and Washington State $5 million every year as part of the agreement to keep playing Apple.
It's like child support.
That's literally what we do to play Portland State and all these other small schools. Like, hey, come to Autzen and get your ass kicked for 3.5 hours. And here's a cool $5 million.
I think it's just time to completely embrace European soccer relegation. If we're doing stuff like this, I just think it's time to just build one, two super conferences. And then if you lose, you're down.
Well, hey.
And then if people are moving around like this and deciding I don't want to be here for this, hey, then I'd say we just go ahead and go to soccer relegation.
Wouldn't it be great to see Appalachian State in FBS one year? That would just be one year. So random.
Seriously, if they show them they can compete and everything,
why
you
not?
Give them that year, psh.
And I mean, in that aspect, what I love about the conferences and, you know, consolidating, it's like, let's put attention to the 40, 50 schools that actually give an F. And then, you know, we have 130 schools playing for a national championship every year.
Right.
More than 50% of them are never going to do that. So
if you're the 130th school, ranked 130th school in the country, you're probably going to
let's get the
120 or 127.
Let's get these 40, 50 teams who have had the somewhat history or, you know, track record of, yeah, they could compete and actually recruit and have a good team versus, oh, everybody's got a shot. Like, this is where things are going.
This is almost like minor league baseball getting rid of, like, the worst teams. And I'm not saying Oregon State is a bad team in this case. I'm kind of referring more to, like, the, you know, the back when I was a kid and I played NCAA football, I looked for the worst team in the entire game to try and build up. And it was, like, the University of Louisiana Lafayette Ragin' Cajuns. Like, those kinds of schools. They're going to be tossed off the back of the NCAA here. And that is fine. It is the Oregon States and the Washington States of the world that are absolutely, I wholeheartedly agree with you, getting screwed.
All right. I want to read some quotes from Scott Barnes because talking about one guy that I don't really feel bad for. That's Scott Barnes, athletic director of Oregon State. Have some quotes from him talking about the Pac-12 realignment, Big 12, Big 10 realignment. Basically, everything fall apart. Yeah, he's not happy. We do that next. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Baseball fight last night. That was fun. I mean, that's about as much baseball we'll get with Rashad.
Don't touch my face, man. What you doing? What's up? Square up, homie. What you want?
Can I just add to? I cannot.
Oh, he got knocked out too.
Yeah, he dropped.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I hate Tim Anderson. So seeing the one punch the one punch that's actually landed in baseball fights in probably the past 5 to 6 seasons. Got onto, probably since Jose Bautista, got onto one of my most hated players in the game. I'm so happy about that.
Oh, man.
Tim Anderson is a jerk.
So, to finish up our little Pac-12 talk here, I have a little bit of a personal bugaboo with Scott Barnes, Oregon State Athletic Director, because he used to be the former AD at Pitt for the Pitt Panthers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday here. Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz, and me, Joe Fisher. I do want to jump to the text line real quick because this is pertains to the Oregon State Beavers, who are now part of the Pac-4. Well, it's the Pac-12 for one more year. This will be a very fun, nostalgic, sad
for the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl.
There's going to be there's going to be a lot of emotions this year. But on the text line, Vancouver 4 text line, as a Beaver fan, I no longer care about Oregon versus Penn State or USC versus Michigan. This has made college football more regional than ever. This is horrible for the sport. Over some money, which I've always been told how rich Oregon is, they have no idea how many ratings and eyeballs they just lost. Well, that's okay. Before we go into the Oregon aspect, let's stay with the Beavers, because this, I think, is... I mean, would you say that this is a bigger deal for Oregon State than it is Oregon? Because I feel like this drastically changes the entire athletic program of Oregon State. You will have less money to play with. I mean, if you are going to be in a conference now against the Nevadas and the Wyomings and the Boise States, guess what? You have lost your leverage of being a Power 5 school. And if I'm a recruit down in the Bay Area that is getting offers from Nevada and whatever Mountain West school, San Diego State, and then whoever comes from Corvallis and says, yeah, but come up to Oregon State. Oh, well, yeah, we don't have that Pac-12 deal anymore. We're not in the conference, and you won't play USC or Oregon or Washington and have that exposure. But Corvallis is a great college town.
How do you feel about going to Reno, though?
Good point. That's not the best option. I mean, what's the optimum choice for Oregon State fans? Probably hoping the Big 12 calls at this point. What are the chances of that?
No incentive for them to do that.
Exactly. There's none. So you're literally looking at like a Pac West, you know, merger of the Pac 12 and the Mountain West, or, and that's with a lot of mediocre schools, or going independent. What future does that hold for Oregon State fans? Rashad, I understand some of the anger here.
I know Rashad's going to be stoked to see his UNLV Rebels playing Oregon State, though, every year.
Hasn't boded well for him before, so I mean, not lately. But no, I think this could potentially be... Yeah, it's definitely a bad thing for as far as recruiting goes. Like, being in the Pac-12, even if you're Arizona State, right? At least you're in the Pac-12 still. So if you're trying to lure somebody away from... you know, a bigger kid that might be going to, you know, might have been wanting to go to Nevada, might have been wanting to go to one of those schools, you can at least give the thing that, hey, like Joe said, you're going to play Oregon, you know, this year and next year, and then we're going to play Stanford. We're going to play all these other
USC,
teams.
USC, like, Washington. You know, yeah,
and
big
so
programs.
Now, I mean, you're trying to sell kids on the fact that you're going to play against, you know, again, Nevada and UNLV and, you know, Boise State, you know, all – cool little, you know, programs and everything, but none of them have the cachet of any one of the teams, even one of the middling teams like a Utah in the Pac-12. You know what I mean? And so now it's a little, but Oregon State has an opportunity to be the best team in a middling conference. Like, if Oregon State, you know, goes in there and goes 10-1, you know, whatever the case is, you know, 9-2, whatever it is, they have potential to be the best team in that conference. People are going to start keep paying attention. Remember, Boise State for years was the gem of the Mountain West, right? Like, Boise State was the team that kept, you know, with the blue, the Smurf turf and everything like that. They were always the team for a long time that people looked at and said, this mid-major type team, this team that's, you know, from the Mountain West is running through people. So Oregon State could potentially be that team as far. They're probably the best team. Utah's gone too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they're done.
The four corner schools have been accepted. And
it's Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State. Those are the only four left in our good old Pacific
Conference.
And
who hasn't picked up Stanford yet?
No, they were being considered by the Big 12 along with Cal for their academic prowess. But we were talking just a second ago, Oregon State possibly going independent. That is a legit option for Stanford just because of their longstanding history of sports and connections with many other prestigious programs.
Well, so, and also
outside of the Pac-12,
Let's get to the root of why this is all happening again. Money, TV, media markets, like... If Big Ten wants a few other teams, why not go after Stanford and Cal and take the Bay Area market? I know that the Bay Area is not, it's not like, oh, are you a Stanford or Cal fan? I went to MIT and I work for a huge software company out here. I don't care. Like, that's kind of what you run into probably in the Bay Area more.
I just don't think they need it in the Big 12, do
but
they?
But again, it's like, Bay Area. It's a market. It's San Francisco, right? Like, there are people, again, just saying Stanford and Cal football fans out loud, it does kind of seem like, is that a real thing? But again, when it comes down to all this, this is all based off of media markets and money. Would they wanted the Portland, Eugene, Oregon, Seattle, Washington footprint? I mean, they literally just got those two states, the entire I-5 corridor, basically, just by bringing in Oregon and Washington. So what, like, what, Washington State and Oregon State do nothing? We already have those.
Fresno and the rest of the
We already have those markets. Well, San Francisco would be nice. That'd be a nice kicker. So let's add Cal, Stanford. Not the best football programs, but Stanford has one of the best athletic programs with all their other ancillary sports. And then Cal, again, I don't know, academics, I guess, is the kicker on this, but I think that would be more so make sense. And that, again, that's where it sucks for Oregon State. You are going to, I said this last week, I didn't want any team to be quote unquote relegated in this Pac-12 nonsense, right? I wanted them to stay on the same playing field, same competition level, same money coming in every year. This changes that. Like, Oregon State and Washington State are not sought after properties.
Sorry.
Unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things,
they're only
when they're paired. Like, it's only when Washington is paired with Washington State, and that's when it's like, okay, that's something I'll take. You know, if it was one of those things, like if it was like, man, if you take Oregon, that means there's no more Civil War game and everything like that. And Oregon was like, nah, well, we need that for marketing or whatever.
I do find it funny. Will. Yeah. Oregon and Washington both were like, yeah, we're going to do whatever we can to preserve the Apple Cup Civil War games for sure. And it's like, if you're Oregon State, Washington State.
Yeah. Scott Barnes was like, to be determined.
Yeah. Kick rocks. We're good for the next 10 years. Like,
it's got to be frustrating for OSU fans. I get it, but
everything from OSU. It's their own fault, though. This is Oregon State's own fault. Let's just be real.
Scott Barnes didn't do them a lot of favors.
Go ahead, Rashad.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying, in the sense that Oregon years ago made strides to make sure they changed the way people saw Oregon football, whether it was the flashy uniforms, it was the new facilities, it was the spread offense, whatever it was, they were like, we're going to be viewed differently to the rest of the country. And when you're right down the street and you're seeing Big Brother do all these other things, what are you waiting for? I know they're finally making renovations to Reser and everything. That
I think
those
are all wrapped up.
That should have happened 15 years ago.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know, all those.
It's a good thing they had that money to do that now.
All these upgrades that should have happened, new facilities and everything, that should have happened a while ago. And then maybe Oregon's still going to get what they get. But now you have kids that just aren't completely leapfrogging you Corvallis to go straight to Oregon, especially a lot of those kids that end up going to visit Oregon. They don't really. Not going to make the team, going to be preferred walk-ons. But Oregon State saying, hey, I have a scholarship for you. And kids are like doing the Drake, like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do that.
No, the prestige of the Pac-12, I think, with Oregon and Washington kind of being that final domino over Friday evening to drop for them. It forces Oregon State and Washington State fans, to really examine where they are as programs without the comparison of them to Oregon. Because I do think, and I love Beavers fans, my dad's been a Beav fan, I'm a Duck fan, so it's kind of been a house divided growing up, but I've always loved, you know, especially when the Beavers football program is having a great season, you know, like how competitive it is locally here in the Pac-12, but it just hasn't been that year to year. And I think Beavers fans might be a little jaded. I understand they're mad that they're never going to get, you know, these rivalries, these local games. The first game that I ever went to ever for a football game was the Civil War back in like 95 or 6. I get it. We're losing a lot. I'm pissed about that. But I feel like Oregon State fans being mad at Duck Fan or being mad at the University of Oregon and saying like, oh, I'm never gonna watch you again. I don't care about any of those rivalries. It's like, are you really mad at Oregon? Are you mad because your program isn't as good as Oregon's? And you kind of thought that in the last couple of years. Yeah. Or you thought maybe you had a chance to get there with this Jonathan Smith recent hire. And trust me, the trajectory is going up. But I just wonder if Beavers fans are a little bit over what they should be here.
Text line, Vancouver text line. Brandon Sprague chiming in. He says, Oregon is not in the Big because of their media market. They're in it because of recent top-end success in the last 20 years in Nike. Yeah, I mean, I was saying that earlier in the show, but also, you getting Oregon in Washington, you have the Pacific Northwest now. Like, it's not getting Portland, but then again, like, Oregon Ducks is one of the biggest teams in this part of the country. Like, in the Northwest, like, There is a ton of Oregon fans, a ton of people that converted. So you are getting the Portland market. You're getting the Eugene market. You're getting Bend. You are getting the entire state. And then with that, coupled it with Vancouver and Washington and like, again, the Pacific Northwest, you have it because of getting those two schools. And quite frankly, you wanted Oregon because, yeah, they built up that success over the last 20 years, and they were the school that took over this market. If Oregon State did that over the last 20 years, then they're in this deal. They take over the state. They're the team that everybody wants to watch and be a part of.
What other Pac-12 team has appeared in a national championship twice in the last decade? Yeah, that's the only point.
And maybe Oregon State, you know, doesn't take over the state the way Oregon does, but I think they at least make it competitive. They at least try to, you know, kind of stay on par. And it's hard to stay on par with Uncle Phil, but you're at least trying to make strides to stay relevant. And I think for a long time, like, Oregon State just took too long to be able to do it. So now that they have a whole new task in front of them, which is potentially being the best team in a middling conference.
Just one more text, and then I want to read some quotes from Scott Barnes on the next time on the next segment. But Vancouver Ford text line: Oregon and Washington should kick OSU and Washington State like $5 million every year as part of the agreement to keep playing Apple.
It's like child support.
That's literally like what we do to play Portland State and all these other small schools. Like, hey, come to Autzen and get your ass kicked for 3.5 hours. And here's a cool $5 million.
I think it's just time to completely embrace European soccer relegation. Like, if we're doing stuff like this, I just think it's time to just build one, two super conferences. And then if you lose, you're down.
Well, hey.
And then we'll, you know, if people are moving around like this and deciding I don't want to be here for this, hey, then I'd say we just go ahead and go to soccer relegation.
Wouldn't it be great to see Appalachian State in FBS 1 year? That would just be 1 year. So random.
Seriously, if they show them they can compete and everything,
why
give
not?
Them that year, psh.
And what I mean, in that aspect, what I love about the conferences and, you know, consolidating, it's like, let's put attention to the 40, 50 schools that actually give an F. And then, you know, we have 130 schools playing for a national championship every year.
Right.
More than 50% of them are never going to do that. So
if you're the 130th school, ranked 130th school in the country, you're probably going to
again, let's get the
120 or 127.
Let's get these 40, 50 teams who have had the somewhat history or, you know, track record of, yeah, they could compete and actually recruit and have a good team versus, oh, everybody's got a shot. Like, this is where things are going.
This is almost like minor league baseball getting rid of like the worst teams. And I'm not saying Oregon State is a bad team in this case. I'm kind of referring more to like the, you know, the back when I was a kid and I played NCAA football, I looked for the worst team in the entire game to try and build up. And it was like the University of Louisiana Lafayette Ragin' Cajuns, like those kinds of schools. They're going to be tossed off the back of the NCAA here. And that is fine. It is the Oregon States and the Washington States of the world that are absolutely, I wholeheartedly agree with you, getting screwed.
All right. I want to read some quotes from Scott Barnes because talk about one guy that I don't really feel bad for. That's Scott Barnes, athletic director of Oregon State. Have some quotes from him talking about the Pac-12 realignment, Big 12, Big 10 realignment, basically everything fall apart. Yeah, he's not happy. We do that next. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Baseball fight last night. That was fun. I mean, that's about as much baseball we'll get with Rashad.
Don't touch my face, man. What you doing? What's up? Square up, homie. What you want?
Can I just add to, I cannot
stand. Oh, I knocked out too.
Yeah, he dropped
him. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I hate Tim Anderson. So seeing the one punch
caught him with the right.
The one punch that's actually landed in baseball fights in probably the past 5 to 6 seasons got onto, probably since Jose Bautista, got onto one of my most hated players in the game. I'm so happy about that.
Oh, man.
Tim Anderson is a jerk.
So to finish up our little Pac-12 talk here, I have a little bit of a personal bugaboo with Scott Barnes, Oregon State Athletic Director. Because he used to be the former AD at Pitt for the Pitt Panthers. And he was the AD when they made one of the worst head coaching hires of all time in Pittsburgh basketball program history, hiring Kevin Stallings. And when he did that, Pittsburgh then turned into an absolute shell of themselves in basketball. And so, I have a little personal bugaboo with Scott Barnes because he did that and then he bailed and he came over to Oregon State and was a champion for Larry Scott. And now he is made his thoughts very clear. One quote, "I'm furious as far as all this." Well, yeah, I'm not surprised, but he said the great history and tradition of this conference has been severely damaged. The best interest of the student athlete hasn't been served. Traveling to the Eastern Seaboard multiple times a year is not in the best interest of student athletes. We were literally hours away from a deal that everybody could embrace. I've never seen so many last-minute decision and twists and turns that I've seen throughout this process. Conference realignment just doesn't make sense anymore. What this enterprise was built on was regionality and rivalries. That is gone. That is leaving the Pac-12. Some of the most special pieces about our model is regionality of competition and rivalries. Those things are forgotten. And as much as I have a personal bugaboo against him, he is 100% right.
Absolutely is. The messed up thing is college football has chosen TV money, right, and coast to coast kind of competition,
mm-hmm.
and it's killed what's made, in my opinion, what's made college football so much different than the NFL.
Why people wanted to watch it in the first
is
place?
Those regional, like if you just taking it back to where maybe if you didn't have, you know, 4 cable and everything like that, Oregon versus Oregon State was the game that you waited for. Like, for the year. Like, you know, Washington versus Washington State, that Apple Cup is what you waited for, you know, throughout the year. And to kind of take away those rivalries, that's what's always made college football different. The grandeur, the pageantry, like, all that little stuff. Like, the rivalries. Like, those are the important parts of college football. Like, and so I think now that you're kind of, you're trying to make these new rivalries, and, you know, it's not a rivalry with Ohio State and Oregon. I'm sorry, Duck fan. It's
you're
not a rivalry.
Wrong, Rashad.
You know, it's rivalry goes both ways. You know, and Oregon State just beat Oregon, you know, this past year in the Civil War or
the game formerly
just
known
call
as
it the Civil War. We never got another name, damn it.
They dropped the ball on that. That should have let us know something then. It's like, man, we're not even going to bother renaming this joint.
Do they even care about this game?
They really don't even care about the game. And, you know, and honestly, this move kind of shows it. Like, man, we don't really care about rivalries and stuff. All that stuff is passe. All that stuff is kind of, you know, which brings up a good question. Do younger kids and, like, kind of the more modern college football fan, do they even care about the stuff? Do they care about the rivalries between everything like that?
And because
I'll be real,
listen to Andrew Nemec's recruiting show the other day, he said that every kid he talked about what was happening with the realignment, it was a lot of, oh yeah, I've heard about it.
They
like,
don't
oh,
care.
They do not care.
No, yeah. And so, and I guess I'm more so concerned as a fan, like I want to care about the games I'm watching because there's so many other things to watch now. And I can catch a football game in 15 minutes on YouTube now by just looking at every play with very little commentary and can get through a whole game that way, you know. And so why do I care? And I think that's the big thing about college football. Like, I have to care. NFL, I watch it for entertainment and everything. College football isn't as good as NFL. We know that. Guys aren't as athletic. Guys aren't as fast, not as big. It's a different level of competition, right? And so I need to care about these kids that I'm watching for the most part. And now I'm just like, I had an investment as a Pac-12 guy, as a person from Portland, I've had a certain amount of years invested in watching Pac-12 football, not just Oregon State, but, you know, USC for all those years with Reggie
all the
Bush
games,
and,
yeah.
You know, or going back to the 80s, Marcus Allen, or 70s, excuse me, my grandparents and stuff used to tell me all about Marcus
history,
Allen
man.
And all that stuff.
History.
So all those things, O.J. Simpson played in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Did you know he was a running back?
Did you know? There's some people that had no idea O.J. was running back, but O.J. was
what
killing
position
even then,
would he have
bro.
Been?
But
that's
it was,
funny.
But it was one of those things. So now, it's a little sad as a guy that hosts a football show, right? As a guy who loves, like, the tradition of stuff. I'm one of those weirdos that's like that. But yeah. I feel like you don't change tradition. That's why it's called tradition. But, I mean, hey, like, they chose money. And I can't be mad at it, but it's rich people getting richer.
Hearing you, Joe, rehash all those comments that Scott Barnes has made since, I mean, this was, let's face it, an 11th hour deal that happened with the Pac-12 kind of breaking up on Friday morning with Oregon and Washington. Initially, oh, maybe the Pac-12 is going to hold together, and then, oh, no, everything's gone. So to get to Scott Barnes's points, I agree with everything that he's putting out there, except for two very, very important things. One is the fact that there was a deal hours away from being completed. I don't buy that. I think it's bullsh. The money that was going to be coming the entire Pac-12's way from just streaming, by the way, not any of the same eyes, the same viewership that we get with like live television or linear TV. It was only streaming on Apple. Maybe it could have gotten up to $30, $35 million. Oregon is guaranteed that along with Washington just for this jump. It's not the guaranteed full share that you're getting that all the other Big 12 or Big 10 schools, excuse me, you're getting. USC, UCLA are getting full shares. Yeah, Oregon isn't getting that, but it's still a ton more guaranteed money than the Pac-12. You had to hit different optics to even get to $35 million. So there's no way that there would have been enough people paying per month for the Pac-12 for every school to hit $35 million. So no, I don't think Scott Barnes is accurate in stating that. And then two, the first thing that came out of his mouth, serving the student athlete. Are you kidding me? Has college football, has the NCAA been serving the best interest of the student athlete for the past 40, 50 freaking years? We just got NIL money. We just gave these players a little bit more freedom in some of the bigger leagues that, let's face it, these schools and TV networks have been making way too much money off of their backs for them not to get something for. So no. Why does Scott Barnes all of a sudden care about the athlete now? So yeah, those 2 points, think they're bullsh, but everything else I agree with.
Like, well, that's just things that rich people say.
And if he cared, he wouldn't have hired Kevin Stallings at Pitt. Damn well didn't care about the student athletes during that time. God,
yeah, like seriously, when you make millions of dollars per year, like he's reading from some prompts that somebody put together, some grad student and everything, a whole team of people.
Rich guy furious because he didn't win the argument is what it sounds like, or he didn't get what he wanted.
That's what rich guys do, yeah. And it's okay. Like, that's just what it is.
Want to go to the text line here. I'm 25. I think there's only 4 or 5 untouchable rivalries. Mostly I care about the number next to the team. 4 versus 6 is far more interesting than some rivalry game with unranked teams.
Fair enough.
Okay. I will say that, you know, to kind of go to the point of the tradition is that, and what makes college football and college athletics different to your guys' point is there is more of an emotional attachment to these schools and to these teams, because it's not like the Blazers, for example, like, oh, I used to go to Blazer games as a kid. It's like, no, in my when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, I was on campus at this school interacting, not just with the team and going to events, but I knew some of the players. Like, I spent my money to go here. Like, I have such more of a emotional, financial commitment to this team than the Cowboys or the Blazers or the Orioles, you know, whatever your team is, that's why people care so much about these long-held traditions. It's because there is so much history and emotional ties to it. It's different than professional sports, and where it is a money grab most of the time.
And, you know, there's something to be said about an in-state rivalry, though. You know what I mean?
100%,
yeah. Like, so, like, it's literally the lines are drawn between people. And so you're at the supermarket or something like that, and I see a guy in an Oregon shirt, and I'm wearing an Oregon State shirt. There's an instant, like, especially Civil War is coming up. So there's an instant, like, you guys are going down. You know, it's a friendly thing, you know, that you're doing. But, you know, you both recognize that we both are interested in this thing. We're standing on opposite sides of it, but we're both interested in seeing kind of what happens. So, yes, like, so in-state, there is that the fun of doing that. Like, it's like if you're a Lakers fan, there's a Clippers, you know, fan in the same place and everything, there might be a little like, oh, y'all trash or something like that back and forth. Those things are fun. And so not really being able to have that opportunity. And we're talking just football, right? This is just a football realignment, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. I mean, this is
at this point
everything.
They are saying for all sports.
Yeah. Okay,
it might get a little hairy, you know, come basketball or cross country time. Like there are some schedules that might have to just be altered. But
well, and this is where I say it's like they might have Big Ten like adding Cal, Stanford for travel reasons, and like you know basketball away games. Like Ohio State goes to the Bay Area and you play Stanford on Thursday, Cal on Saturday.
Exactly,
and then, you know, things like that. So, final thought, just from myself, is why I'm not so affected by this and have that emotional tie to the Pac-12 is because I used to be you Pac-12 fans. I backed the Big East basketball conference for years. I rocked it. I said there was no better conference. I almost rooted for the conference more than I rooted for Pitt sometimes. And what happened? The Big East basketball conference that had all this history and tradition and lore, it ain't there anymore. I had a quote, Rashad, to my friend about going to MSG to go watch like the Big East tournament one year. And I'm like, oh, dude, we got to go sometime. And he's like, yeah, hopefully we can make it out. I'm like, oh, dude, the Big East will never die. And yeah.
Damn that, you, Joe.
That quote bit me bad right there. And now it's like Pitt and West Virginia, the backyard brawl, that they just started doing that again. But that was gone for like 10 years and it sucked. So again, I get it. I went through it in a smaller sense, but this is completely different.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, boy. All right. We got that off of our chests. Let's breathe. Let's switch over to some NFL football. Let's start doing some previewing of the NFC South and the AFC South, because quite frankly, I feel like those divisions are probably the most trash.
Yeah, the worst ones.
Comes to all of them.
The worst ones.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, coming up next, right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Baseball fight last night. That was fun. I mean, that's about as much baseball we'll get with Rashad.
Don't touch my face, man. What you doing? What's up? Square up, homie. What you want?
Can I just add to? I cannot.
Oh, he got knocked out too.
Yeah, he dropped.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I hate Tim Anderson. So seeing the one punch.
Oh.
that I
caught him with the right.
The one punch that's actually landed in baseball, in baseball fights, in probably the past 5 to 6 seasons, got onto, probably since Jose Bautista, got onto one of my most hated players in the game. I'm so happy about that.
Oh, man.
Tim Anderson is a jerk.
So, to finish up our little Pac-12 talk here, I have a little bit of a personal bugaboo with Scott Barnes, Oregon State Athletic Director. Because he used to be the former AD at Pitt for the Pitt Panthers. And he was the AD when they made one of the worst head coaching hires of all time in Pittsburgh basketball program history, hiring Kevin Stallings. And when he did that, Pittsburgh then turned into an absolute shell of themselves in basketball. And so, I have a little personal bugaboo with Scott Barnes because he did that and then he bailed and he came over to Oregon State and was a champion for Larry Scott. And now he is made his thoughts very clear. One quote, "I'm furious as far as all this." Well, yeah, I'm not surprised, but he said the great history and tradition of this conference has been severely damaged. The best interest of the student athlete hasn't been served. Traveling to the Eastern Seaboard multiple times a year is not in the best interest of student athletes. We were literally hours away from a deal that everybody could embrace. I've never seen so many last-minute decision and twists and turns that I've seen throughout this process. Conference realignment just doesn't make sense anymore. What this enterprise was built on was regionality and rivalries. That is gone. That is leaving the Pac-12. Some of the most special pieces about our model is regionality of competition and rivalries. Those things are forgotten. And as much as I have a personal bugaboo against him, he is 100% right.
Absolutely is. The messed up thing is college football has chosen TV money, right, and coast-to-coast kind of competition,
mm-hmm.
and it's killed what's made, in my opinion, what's made college football so much different than the NFL.
Why people wanted to watch it in the first
place. Is those regional, like, if you, just taking it back to where maybe if you didn't have, you know, 4 cable and everything like that, Oregon versus Oregon State was the game that you waited for. Like, for the year, like, you know, Washington versus Washington State, that Apple Cup is what you waited for, you know, throughout the year. And to kind of take away those rivalries, that's what's always made college football different. The grandeur, the pageantry, like all that little stuff, like the rivalries, like those are the important parts of college football. Like, and so I think now that you're kind of you're trying to make these new rivalries, and you know it's not a rivalry with Ohio State and Oregon. I'm sorry, Duck fan. It's
you're not
a rivalry.
Wrong, Rashad.
You know, its rivalry goes both ways. You know, and Oregon State just beat Oregon, you know, this past year in the Civil War, or
the game formerly
just
known
called
as
the Civil War. We never got another name. Damn it.
They dropped the ball on that. That should have let us know something then. It's like, man, we're not even going to bother renaming this joint.
Do they even care about this game?
They really don't even care about the game. And, you know, and honestly, this move kind of shows it. Like, man, we don't really care about rivalries and stuff. All that stuff is passe. All that stuff is kind of, you know, and which brings up a good question. Do younger kids and, like, kind of the more modern college football fan, do they even care about this stuff? Do they care about the rivalries between everything like that?
And because
I'll be real,
listen to Andrew Nemec's recruiting show the other day, he said that every kid he talked about what was happening with the realignment, it was a lot of, oh yeah, I've heard about it. They do not care.
No, yeah. And so, and I guess I'm more so concerned as a fan, like I want to care about the games I'm watching because there's so many other things to watch now. And I can catch a football game in 15 minutes on YouTube now by just looking at every play with very little commentary and can get through a whole game that way, you know? And so why do I care? And I think that's the big thing about college football. Like, I have to care. NFL, I watch it for entertainment and everything. College football isn't as good as NFL. We know that. Guys aren't as athletic. Guys aren't as fast, not as big. It's a different level of competition, right? And so I need to care about these kids that I'm watching for the most part. And now I'm just like, I had an investment as a Pac-12 guy, as a person from Portland, I've had a certain amount of years invested in watching Pac-12 football, not just Oregon State, but, you know, USC for all those years with Reggie Bush games, and, you know, or going back to the 80s, Marcus Allen, or 70s, excuse me, my grandparents and stuff used to tell me all about Marcus Allen and all that stuff.
History.
So all those things, O.J. Simpson played in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Did you know he was a running back?
Did you know? There's some people that have no idea O.J. was a running back, but O.J. was killing
even then.
What
position would he have been? That's funny.
But it was one of those things. So now, it's a little sad as a guy that hosts a football show, right? As a guy who loves, like, the tradition of stuff. I'm one of those weirdos that's like that. But all I right. feel like you don't change tradition. That's why it's called tradition. But, I mean, hey, like, they chose money. And I can't be mad at it, but it's rich people getting richer.
Hearing you, Joe, rehash all those comments that Scott Barnes has made since, I mean, this was, let's face it, an 11th hour deal that happened with the Pac-12 kind of breaking up on Friday morning with Oregon and Washington. Initially, oh, maybe the Pac-12 is going to hold together, and then, oh, no, everything's gone. So to get to Scott Barnes's points, I agree with everything that he's putting out there, except for two very, very important things. One is the fact that there was a deal hours away from being completed. I don't buy that. I think it's bullsh. The money that was going to be coming the entire Pac-12's way from just streaming, by the way, not any of the same eyes, the same viewership that we get with like live television or linear TV. It was only streaming on Apple. Maybe it could have gotten up to $30, $35 million. Oregon is guaranteed that along with Washington just for this jump. It's not the guaranteed full share that you're getting that all the other Big 12 or Big 10 schools, excuse me, are getting. USC, UCLA are getting full shares. Yeah, Oregon isn't getting that, but it's still a ton more guaranteed money than the Pac-12. You had to hit different optics to even get to $35 million. So there's no way that there would have been enough people paying per month for the Pac-12 for every school to hit $35 million. So no, I don't think Scott Barnes is accurate in stating that. And then two, the first thing that came out of his mouth, serving the student athlete. Are you kidding me? Has college football, has the NCAA been serving the best interest of the student athlete for the past 40, 50 freaking years? We just got NIL money. We just gave these players a little bit more freedom in some of the bigger leagues that, let's face it, these schools and TV networks have been making way too much money off of their backs for them not to get something for. So no. Why does Scott Barnes all of a sudden care about the athlete now? So yeah, those two points, think they're bullsh, but everything else I agree with.
Like, well, that's just things that rich people say.
And if he cared, he wouldn't have hired Kevin Stallings at Pitt. He damn well didn't care about the student athletes during that time. God,
like seriously, when you make millions of dollars per year, like he's reading from some prompts that somebody put together, some grad student and everything, a whole team of people.
Rich guy furious because he didn't win the argument is what it sounds like, or he didn't get what he wanted.
That's what rich guys do, and it's okay. Like, that's just what it is.
Want to go to the text line here. I'm 25. I think there's only four or five untouchable rivalries mostly I care about the number next to the team. Four versus six is far more interesting than some rivalry game with unranked teams.
Fair enough.
Okay. I will say that, you know, to kind of go to the point of the tradition is that, and what makes college football and college athletics different, to your guys' point, is there is more of an emotional attachment to these schools and to these teams, because it's not like the Blazers, for example, like, oh, I used to go to Blazer games as a kid. It's like, no, in my when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, I was on campus at this school interacting, not just with the team and going to events, but I knew some of the players. Like, I spent my money to go here. Like, I have such more of a emotional, financial commitment to this team than the Cowboys or the Blazers or the Orioles, you know, whatever your team is, that's why people care so much about these long-held traditions. It's because there is so much history and emotional ties to it. It's different than professional sports, and where it is a money grab most of the time.
And, you know, there's something to be said about an in-state rivalry, though. You know what I mean?
100%,
Like, it's literally the lines are drawn between people. And so you're at the supermarket or something like that, and I see a guy in an Oregon shirt and I'm wearing an Oregon State shirt, there's an instant, like, especially Civil War is coming up. So there's an instant, like, you guys are going down. You know, it's a friendly thing, you know, that you're doing. But, you know, you both recognize that we both are interested in this thing. We're standing on opposite sides of it, but we're both interested in seeing kind of what happens. So, yes, like, so in state, there is that the fun of doing that. Like, it's like if you're a Lakers fan, there's a Clippers, you know, fan in the same place and everything, there might be a little like, oh, y'all trash or something like that back and forth. Those things are fun. And so not really being able to have that opportunity. And we're talking just football, right? This is just a football realignment, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. I mean, this is
at this point, they are saying for all sports.
Yeah. Okay.
It might get a little hairy, you know, come basketball or cross country time. Like, there are some schedules that might have to just be altered. But,
well, and this is where I say it's like they might have Big Ten, like, adding Cal Stanford for travel reasons and, like, you know, basketball away games. Like, Ohio State goes to the Bay Area and you play Stanford on Thursday, Cal on Saturday.
Exactly.
And then, you know, things like that. So, final thought just from myself is why I'm not so affected by this and have that emotional tie to the Pac-12 is because I used to be you Pac-12 fans. I backed the Big East basketball conference for years. I rocked it. I said there was no better conference. I almost rooted for the conference more than I rooted for Pitt sometimes. And what happened? The Big East basketball conference that had all this history and tradition and lore, it ain't there anymore. I had a quote, Rashad, to my friend about going to MSG to go watch, like, the Big East tournament one year. And I'm like, oh, dude, we got to go sometime. And he's like, yeah, hopefully we can make it out. I'm like, oh, dude, the Big East will never die. And, yeah.
Damn that, you, Joe.
That quote bit me bad right there. And now it's like Pitt and West Virginia, the backyard brawl, that they just started doing that again. But that was gone for, like, 10 years, and it sucked. So, again, I get it. I went through it in a smaller sense, but this is completely different.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, boy. All right. We got that off of our chest. Let's breathe. Let's switch over to some NFL football. Let's start doing some previewing of the NFC South and the AFC South, because quite frankly, I feel like those divisions are probably the most trash.
Yeah, the worst ones.
Comes to all of them.
The worst ones.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, coming up next, right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.